Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren, and this week we're joined by Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to be here. Thank you.
And this is a delayed Ask the Mayor. I know you were very busy yesterday, so we really appreciate you taking the time on another day, on a Wednesday, to be able to do this show and get this in this week. Let's just start with the COVID-19 update. Obviously, we know vaccine's been out. Half of the state has yet to take it. But rates around the state almost highest since January, same with hospitalizations. Just an update there in Columbus, Bartholomew County, kind of boots on the, on the ground. How is it there? How are hospitals? And what needs to happen next?
Well, what needs to happen next is a whole bunch of people need to get vaccinated. I don't think that we want to soft pedal that that notion at all. I keep track, or I get reported to me, the inpatient data at Columbus Regional Health related to COVID. On Monday, I think it's Monday, but July 25th, we had 4. On August 1st, a week later, it was 8. A week after that, it was 18, then 22. Now on August 22nd, it was 29. And on August 29th, a couple of days ago, it was 28. And there have been some higher dates in between. You know, those are just the Mondays or the Sundays that it gets reported to me. This virus isn't going away. I mean, this is an airborne pathogen. It lives and breathes by getting inside humans and replicating. And to the extent that we share the same air, we share the risk that we will, contract the virus, contract the disease. And I just amazing to me. Either horse medicine or, what have you. And the simplest, most easy, effective solution is just to go get vaccinated. It is safe. I've had it done. My wife had it done. My kids have had it done. And we've had no after effects as a result of it. And I will just share with you that sooner or later, whether you're vaccinated or not, you will find yourself at Disney World or a Colts game or at a big box retail store where you're in rather close proximity with others. That virus is going to be blown around in the breeze. I mean, it's going to be out there. And if you don't have the vaccine, if you don't have the protection that the vaccine affords, well, you'll get sick. And when you do, if you've not been vaccinated, your symptoms will be a lot worse. And they may be fatal. You just don't know. But one of the worries that we have is whether or not the healthcare system gets overwhelmed. And I think the numbers that I've shared with you earlier make it a little easier to see that we can fill up. I mean, the hospital can reach its capacity. And when that happens, not only is there a shortage with respect to beds, but personnel. They've only got so many people out there. And so I think we ought to be mindful of ourselves. I mean, in terms of trying to protect our own health, but mindful of those who we come in contact with. You know, that we have a little concern for their health as well. It's not all about me, right? And we need to be able to take care of those around us, and particularly kids, those who are under 12 who are not eligible for the vaccine. I mean, they are particularly at risk. So, and we've seen some of that out at Bartholomew Consolidated Schools. I think we have about 100 kids who are out now due to COVID issues. And I believe it's all, or most part of it, is preventable. So would just encourage everybody who has not yet been vaccinated, please, please get out and do that soon.
Yeah, most of the state is in that orange metric level, including there. Any thoughts about any further restrictions, mask mandates, try to get those levels down?
Well, mask mandates are easy to say. It's difficult to enforce. We've got one here at the City of Columbus. We expect all visitors. I mean, if I step outside those doors, behind me where my thumb is, I need to put my mask on. You know, as long as I'm in my office by myself, you know, I'm allowed, our protocol allows me to take my mask off. But we expect all employees who work in an open setting to wear a mask while they're at work. And we expect all visitors to wear a mask. And we continue to, you know, conduct our public meetings virtually, which works, but doesn't work as well as it did, you know, when we could all meet personally or in person. And so, you know, we'll continue to try to emphasize the necessity of masking and vaccinations. And hopefully people will get the message.
We just heard news that Camp Atterbury will be accepting Afghan refugees. For those that don't know, Columbus is not that far from Edinburgh. Just first, your thoughts on that and any details on how that will unfold.
Yeah, you know, we've watched what's going on over in Afghanistan. I mean, watched it on the news. It's a little frustrating, you know, to see it unfold as it has. But it is what it is, particularly, you know, to those of us in Columbus, Indiana. There's not much of an opportunity for us to affect what's going on over there. But as I understand it, these people who are coming have been friends of the United States. You know, they have been helpful to us in our endeavors over there. And I believe that if they stay, they are at risk. So I'm somewhat motivated to try to help them enter the United States and start a new life. So if some of them are going to come in a proximity, want to try to be available if needed to assist with that. And so, yeah, I watched parts of the governor's press conference here just a couple of minutes ago, and they talk about 5,000 refugees coming to Atterbury. Camp Atterbury is a huge place, and so it should be able to handle 5,000 individuals without too much difficulty in terms of a physical space. The difficult part, and this was mentioned several times in the governor's conference, is that you know, that these people will need services. They will need to be fed. They will need to be attended to medically. They'll probably need some kind of counseling, you know, in terms of how do you act, how do you behave in the United States, because you're not home anymore. And so we've been told that the Department of Defense and Homeland Security and some of these other groups will be providing individuals to do that. It was particularly important to me to hear that the government will be bringing their own healthcare personnel. So we will not, should not see an additional stress on the healthcare systems in Johnson or Bartholomew counties. Because as I mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, we're fairly well full trying to take care of COVID-related issues. But so it's good to know that the government's thought that far ahead, and they're going to bring you know, some healthcare personnel in, as well as some counselors. You know, we don't know yet what the English proficiency is for the people who will be coming. But you know, if you're going to be here, you're going to live here, you're going to have to learn how to speak English, or at least become reasonably proficient at it. It was interesting to understand that if some of these people have visas already, I mean, if they have a visa to enter the United States, they will stay at Atterbury for 14 days, long enough for the medical quarantine to expire, and then they'll be free to go, move about the country. I mean, which is what they could have done if they'd have just flown here on a commercial airline, you know, in the regular course of business. We have already had employers from some of the industry here in Columbus contact us, just making us aware that, you know, if there's an opportunity, they would like to talk to these immigrants to see whether or not they could be candidates for a job at one of the factories here. That, you know, our unemployment situation is such that we've got a number of open positions in factories all around Columbus. And so if these people have a willingness, a desire to work, and have adequate or sufficient English proficiency, you know, there'll be something for them to do if that makes sense. But this is all to be determined. We'll obviously be learning as we go along. But But the big key for me is that you know, we've identified the need for some medical medical people to come make sure that these folks are vaccinated, not just for COVID. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about that, but you know, if you go visit another foreign country, oftentimes you're asked to vaccinate for a variety of viruses and bacterial infections. And so it's no different when somebody comes from Afghanistan to the United States. So we expect them to have polio vaccine. We expect them to have vaccine for measles, mumps, rubella. You know, some of the normal childhood vaccines that we take, they may not have had administered to them. So, you know, the medical personnel will evaluate, you know, whether these people have received the appropriate vaccines. If not, then, you know, they'll be given to them, and then they'll, you know, you'll wait for, like I say, 14 days before they might be released. Those folks who do not have a visa will have a process that they have to go through to attain one, you know, so there will be background checks, and these folks will have been vetted, I think it was four times by the time they get here. You know, they're looked at before they get on the plane in Afghanistan. They're looked at again in Europe, looked at again in Washington, D.C., or when they first come into the country, whether it's Dulles or one of the other large airports. And then they'll be looked at a fourth time when they get to Atterbury. And so hopefully that'll be a thorough screening, and not just for medical issues, but for any other kind of political issues that might exist, and then we'll have a better handle on who's going to be here. But it is kind of interesting to watch. You know, I'm old enough to recall the fall of Saigon, and you know, the refugees that came to this country from Southeast Asia, and so it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of a similar kind of process. It takes several years to sort out.
Yeah, sure. You know, another news item that came up, I think it was about a week ago, about Amtrak wanting to reestablish service between Louisville and Indianapolis. It's a route that used to service into 2003, but they talked about the stops in Jeffersonville and Columbus. Is there a background of rail service in Columbus? And can you fill us in just briefly on that? And
it's now you're going to find out how old I really am. Because, I can recall when we had passenger service in Columbus, but that was back in the 50s, a long time ago. We pretty much throughout this country have dismantled, you know, passenger rail, and it's going to be very difficult to bring it back in any kind of volume, any kind of quantity. But it was kind of heartening to hear about this. I got a phone call, maybe it was a year ago, from a representative of Amtrak in Chicago. And, you know, he was just alerting me to the fact that we were on the list and that we're going to be part of the proposal, and would like to know whether or not I would be supportive of that. And I said, sure. Don't really know a whole lot more than what you just shared with me, but based on that, I think we would be supportive. And it's been interesting to me that ever since then, you know, I look at a map of the United States, and it'll have on it the Amtrak lines, and they'll be in black or blue, and then there'll be green lines for proposed routes. And sure enough, I mean, we're a green line. We're on the maps. You know, when Amtrak produces its system map. We talked a little bit about a rail station, and we used to have a rail station downtown. It's been gone, 50s or 60s, you know, so whatever that is, 60 or 70 years ago. We would be asked to assist in the construction of a new rail station. I think I'd be interested in that, but we have to think a little bit about the location. You know, one place that would set up really nicely is at Milray Center. We've got a bus station there right now, but we've also got crossings at 8th Street and 11th Street. And it's hard for me to imagine a train that would stop at a train station there and not block both of those streets. So we may move them a little further south to Milray Park. There's a nice parking lot there that could be used. We may find another place somewhere else, but that'll be a challenge. What What we've just got to wait to see is whether or not the funding comes through, you know, for the train. And if so, you know, how long do we think that funding is going to be there? You know, if this is a long-term commitment and we've got confidence that it will be, then we'll feel a little bit better about trying to build a station or trying to assist in the construction of the station. But yeah, I was kind of excited because I've made a few trips overseas, and when I have to Europe and to Asia, you know, you ride the trains, and it truly is a relaxing way to travel. I much prefer, you know, if the time works out, to take the train rather than the plane. But we'll see. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I hope it happens.
Well, in the past, city stops have paid Amtrak a monthly fee for service to help fund it. I think one point West Lafayette was paid somewhere around $7,000 a month. Would Columbus help pay for it?
Nobody said anything about paid. I mean, that never came up when they was asking for whether or not we would be supportive. You know, the notion that there's some money in this for them, that didn't come up. But it would all be based upon use and ridership. You know, if there would be a way for us to recover the fee by you know, some kind of a fee that we would charge travelers. It's hard to say. I really don't know. We'll just have to wait to see what the proposal actually looks like.
I have to tell you, I came to Columbus to report on Exhibit Columbus a couple of weeks ago. Third installation is up throughout the city. My first time in Columbus since the pandemic. It was nice to drive over the overpass. It's just a whole new way of entering Columbus. And it was exciting because we've talked about it. I've seen photos, and to actually do it was something else. I couldn't imagine what everyone there in Columbus felt like. But,
well, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome to come over anytime and try to wear the overpass out. It's okay. It's going to be there a long time, but it really has made a significant difference. The train traffic really hasn't reached the levels that we had anticipated. We think a lot of that's got to do with the pandemic and with currently a reduction in the amount of output from the Ford plant in Louisville. Because they were shipping cars north. I mean, that was a big part of what those trains carried. But what we found in our studies was that the intersection that we had there of State Road 46 and State Road 11, it was a poorly performing, poorly designed intersection in the morning and in the evenings. And it was only going to get worse as traffic grew. So, you know, we feel that the overpass is not only significant improvement in terms of traffic movement, but it's much safer. You know, we simply don't have, you know, people banging into each other. Excuse me, down there at that interchange.
So, well, I did want to ask you, when I was downtown, I see the Commons construction renovation is still ongoing. This has been going on a while. I think there were some unexpected delays. Do you have any more information on that?
Yeah, the Commons Playground is subject to some delays. We've put a new flooring, new floor covering, you know, in there, and we're having a little problem getting some of it adhered to the subfloor. And we know that once the kids get out there, it's going to get a lot of use, and if it's not down properly, if it's not installed properly, it's going to come up quickly. But I think people will enjoy, you know, what we've done there with the new Commons. I mean, some of the old playground items are still there, but mostly it's new. There's a little bit more opportunity for interactive play. I mean, there's a few items there that it really takes two people, you know, or three people to make them work. And so if you're a young kid and you show up by yourself, well, you may need to interact with somebody, make a friend, you know, to sort of get this thing to work. There's some pieces that, make some noise. Not that we needed noise, but you know, they're either auditory or tactile, you know, with respect to the way they work. And so there's a game that gets played, and I think people will like it. Yeah.
Is there a timeline?
Six months ago, we continue to be a little frustrated, but like most other places, we've ordered the parts. They're on their way. You know, when they get here, they'll get installed. But yeah, it it's taken a lot longer than we had hoped. And we're still hopeful that it gets all put together and finished here by the end of September. But we can't guarantee anything.
I know we have to go in a couple of minutes, but we did get an email from Art, and he wants to know about the old Holiday Inn that was demolished more than a year ago, maybe 2-3 years ago. There's a big hill of rubble right at the entrance to town, and it's an eyesore. So he wants to know if there are any plans for development of that site or cleaning up of the rubble.
Yeah, that site's owned by Columbus Regional Health, and they have plans. In fact, I'm going to have a meeting for this afternoon for I'm going to talk to their developer and hear what they have to say. But they have plans to develop the property. I will tell Art and anybody else that Columbus Regional got a permit from the state of Indiana to do what they're doing. Basically, that pile of rubble that you see is some concrete that had been I-65, the portion of the pavement between State Road 46 and I want to say State Road 11. But that portion of the interstate was recently rebuilt, and so the old concrete is what you see there in the pile, and it's piled there awaiting development of the site. And like I say, they've got a permit for that. I agree that it is frustrating. I agree that it is unsightly, but I can tell you that they are taking the appropriate steps to get it taken care of.
Okay. And Art, we'll get to your other question next month because we're out of time, but I always like to give the mayor a minute to have any special announcements or things that you'd like everybody to know.
No, I just like to repeat one more time to go get vaccinated. And if you're not going to get vaccinated, then please, wear a mask and stay away from others. I mean, it's, you're carrying the virus most likely. And so I think you need to be mindful of the fact that you'll have an effect on other people who, we need to try to be concerned for their health as well. It's not all about me. It's about we.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to join us today, Mr. Mayor, and hope we'll see you, October.
Hard to believe, but yeah.
Yeah.
You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.